Bible tells us that God created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is in 6 days. And after He had created everything, the Bible tells us that He looked upon it and said, "Behold, it is very good." However, it wasn't long after the creation of man that there was one thing that God said was not good. And that, my friends, is man's aloneness. And we read about that in Genesis 2:18. "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make an help meet for him.'" And that He did, didn't He? He caused Adam to sleep. He took one of his ribs, formed the woman, and brought her unto the man, and presented her to him as a solution to man's aloneness. But what's interesting is this. Even though Adam's loneliness was solved by Eve, the problem of loneliness has not departed from humanity. Almost every one of us, at some point in time in our life, can look back and say, "I was extremely lonely at that time." And guess what? It can happen to anyone, can it not? Little bitty children can experience loneliness. We have many teens in our society who ultimately commit suicide, and one of the problems is they find themselves to be very lonely. Adults who you would believe to be mature and able to handle just about anything that comes their way finds that at some time they're lonely. Elderly individuals are often lonely. It was prayed just a few moments ago by Bill about Anthem Lakes and our going there for our devotional, folks. There's over 100 people there, and there are many of those people who have no one to come visit them. Can you imagine those individuals knowing that they have friends, knowing that they have family, and yet there's no visits, there's no calls. I'm just here by myself. Lonely. Sad. Men and women can be subject to loneliness, and loneliness runs through every culture, doesn't it? It doesn't matter what race, what tribe, what tongue I speak, all are subject to loneliness. Everyone, and most likely all of us here, have experienced it. And for that reason, I want us to talk about this subject. I sure do feel lonely. There's 4 points in the lesson. We'll be here till about 3 o'clock. I'm just kidding. But point number one is this: what in the world is loneliness? Oftentimes when we talk about loneliness, we think that it simply involves a person being all alone, all by themselves. And that's really not what loneliness is it? An individual can be all by himself, he can be all alone, and guess what? He never feels lonely. I was here yesterday for about 7 hours before Beth got here. I never felt lonely. I was in the building all by my lonesome. Never felt lonely. And it is also possible for you to be around a huge group of individuals. And even though you're with those individuals, you can still feel lonely, can't you? So loneliness is more than just being by yourself. Loneliness is an emotional response to certain situations and certain difficulties that arise in our life. And there is much more to loneliness than just loneliness, isn't there? I feel distant from other people. There are no warm connections that I'm making with others. Sometimes when I'm lonely, I feel the sense of fear as well. There's anxiety, Sometimes there's sorrow accompanying loneliness, and there's also this concept of emptiness within. Associated with loneliness is a longing to be elsewhere, even alone. An individual can be in a huge crowd of people, and you would think he ought to be just fine, and yet the only thing he desires is to be all by himself, because even in the crowd, he's alone. There's self-pity, there's unworthiness, there's self-doubt, there's depression, there's shame, there's hopelessness, folks. When we talk about loneliness, we are talking about a range of emotions that accompany the individual. There's a lot of type of things that create loneliness too. Three huge things. Number one, I can create my own loneliness. Did you know that? You see, I may be the individual who withdraws from other individuals. They want me to be a part. They want to accept me. They want to give me duties and responsibilities, and yet I am the one who withdraws. Whose fault is that? It could be that I perceive something incorrectly about other individuals. In my mind, for some reason, I begin to think, you know, they just don't want me here. And yet, that's not the case at all. Sometimes we recognize our own differences, don't we? And maybe in our mind, we just tell ourselves, I'm so different that I don't need to be here, and yet, nobody is telling me not to be there. I can create my own loneliness. But secondly, others can create our loneliness, can't they? Get in a crowd of a bunch of people who don't like you, and you can feel lonely, can't you? Get around individuals and they misunderstand us. Maybe our personality and maybe our background and our heritage are different from others, and they just don't understand us. And we never really seem to fit in. Not because we don't want to. They don't understand us. And sometimes there are individuals who like to protect their group. You know that? They like to protect their group. Texans are like that. Do you know that? If you aren't born in Texas, you'll never be a Texan. I don't care how long you live there. It's almost that way here in Florida, isn't it? If you're not born in Florida, you'll never be a Floridian. You'll never be a local. Because people protect their groups. They don't want you to be a part of them. And then notice this group. Folks, tragic events can create our loneliness, can't they? A physical handicap or disability can create loneliness. There's reasons for that. We'll talk about them more in a minute. A divorce can create loneliness. Here's a lady. She goes through a divorce. She has two children. She used to be in this group at church that had both men and women and children. Now she's divorced with children. And guess what? She no longer fits into that crowd. She's no longer a part of that couples group. And she's all by herself as a single mom now. Doesn't fit in. Death can bring a lot of loneliness, especially in certain places like the home, can it? Home is never the same after death. A painful memory can cause us to be lonely, and sometimes just a loss of purpose. An individual gets injured, an individual gets fired from a job, an individual just retires from a job, and all of a sudden, they wake up and there's this feeling of emptiness and loneliness deep within. I can create my loneliness. Others can create loneliness. Tragic events can create loneliness. There's two major components of loneliness, folks. Two major components. Number one, a lack of a who in our life. That who may be my parents, it may be a spouse, It may be my children. It may be my friends, my peers. It may be my work associates. It may be my church family. And all of a sudden, that who is gone. And guess what? Now I'm experiencing all kinds of loneliness, aren't I? Isn't that amazing? One person can exit my life. Everything else stays the same. I go to the same church. I go to the same job. I have the same friends. Go to the same supermarket, whatever. And yet one person's gone. And now I'm lonely. Loneliness involves a who, oftentimes. But even greater than that is this. Loneliness involves a lack of a what in our lives. Notice this. The right who oftentimes provides the right what in our life. Isn't that true? I'm married to an individual, and guess what? That individual provides me with completeness. That person provides me with connection to the past. That individual provides me with feelings of being needed. There's companionship there. And now that person is gone. Not only is he gone, but the what is gone. Everything that he provided in my life is gone. So there's the who and there's the what. Keep those two in mind. Here's something that's interesting. If we have the right what, we may not need a who in our life. Isn't that interesting? You see, there's some people, all they want out of life is freedom. All they want out of life is control. All they want are other creatures in their life, not necessarily a person. Maybe they just want a sense of purpose. They're individuals who live way, way out in the wilderness. All by themselves. They have television shows about them, don't they? Some of these folks that live in Alaska, 200 miles from the Arctic Circle, you just go, how in the world can you live out there all by themselves? And they go visit them, and guess what? They're just as happy as larks, aren't they? You want to know why? Because their what is being met. They have their freedom. They have their control. They don't have to worry about other individuals intruding on them. They are just as happy as they can be, even though they're all by themselves. Sometimes I don't need a who. I just need a what in my life. How about people who work very remote jobs? Kathleen and I like to go visit lighthouses. And when you go, you learn a little bit about those lighthouse keepers. And sometimes they are on those islands for years and years and years, just them and their family and maybe a few other people, and yet they're just as happy as they can be. You want to know why? Their what is being met. I have a sense of purpose. I know why I'm here. I'm helping individuals who are in ships. I'm keeping individuals safe. I'm saving lives, and they know that. And because they're in a remote location, doesn't bother them whatsoever. Or how about this one? People who just practice isolation. You hear about these monks, don't you? They're off in these monasteries. They're way up on a mountain. And they live in rooms all by themselves. And they even take vows of silence. There's been some folks haven't talked in 2, 3, 4 years. I couldn't even imagine that, could you? And you go talk to them, and guess what? They're just as happy as they can be. Well, they may have to sign language. That's a joke. But why is that? Because they're fulfilling a sense of purpose, are they not? They think that they're serving their God. They think that they're doing this for a religious reason. And because of that, being all by themselves doesn't matter whatsoever. Folks, it's not always about a who, but it's always about a what. Always. There's a bunch of Bible examples of people who we would classify as lonely. We've already talked about Adam, didn't we? The Bible tells us that Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmate for him. Can you imagine? Here are two crickets, and they have somebody. Here are two cows and they have somebody. There's two eagles up there and they have somebody. Look, there's even two snakes over here have somebody. And I've got no one. Guess what comes over you? A feeling of emptiness, isn't it? A feeling of loneliness. I'm all by myself. There is nobody here on the whole earth who is just like me. A feeling of loneliness. You ever thought about a man by the name of Job? Think he was lonely? He lost all of his children, did he not? I can't imagine losing 10 children and their husbands as well. That's 20 people gone. Folks, that's a lot of funerals, isn't it? And all at one time. And his wife, she was not the most compassionate person toward him. In fact, she gave him some pretty unspiritual advice. Curse God and die. You're just going to maintain your integrity? What about his friends? They come and all they can accuse him of is what? Being a sinner. You know what he told them? You're some miserable counselors. Miserable counselors. And Job even had a little trouble with God, didn't he? Not that he was unfaithful, but on one occasion he says this, I wish I could just sit down and question God. I just have some things he and I need to talk about. Job was feeling the pressure, wasn't he, of tragedy in his life. And folks, that brings loneliness. And one of the questions that he was wondering is what? Where is God? And why this God? David, he was lonely. That's hard to believe, isn't it? A king? Here's a man who's got all the servants you can imagine around him. He has a host of women who are in his life as his helpmeets. He has a staff that he can call in at any time. He is the commander of the armed forces. And yet in Psalm 25:16, listen to what he says. Turn thou unto me. He's talking to God. And have mercy upon me. Why? For I am desolate and afflicted. Go home and look up that little word desolate. And the simple definition is this, I am lonely. I'm desolate. I feel like I'm out here all by myself, he said. Remember Elijah? Jezebel's out to kill him. He flees down to the wilderness and then finally gets into Sinai. And when God appears to him, he asks him, what in the world are you doing here? Notice what he says. I have been very jealous for the Lord of hosts. But what? The children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. They have torn down thine altars, he says. They have killed thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I, only am left. And what? They seek my life to take it from me. I am all by myself. And you want to know his only wish? His only wish was to die, wasn't it? Not that he was going to kill himself. He'd never do that. But he wished to die. That's how lonely he was. Unbelievable. Remember that little widow of Nain? Jesus is about to enter into that little city, and as he was entering in, this funeral procession was coming out, wasn't it? And the Bible says this, now when he was come nigh to the city, behold, he beheld, and what? There was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and what? She was a widow. Folks, she faced the death of her husband and now her only begotten son. The only one she had. Oh yes, there's a lot of people around her, but I can imagine the hurt that she experienced. And Jesus, the Bible says, had compassion on her. He knew she was hurting, didn't he? How about this person? Jesus at Calvary. Think he was lonely? The Bible says is that all his disciples had forsook him and fled. His own people, the Jewish nation, had turned against him. When he was there on the cross, he was counted as one guilty, worthy of death. And yet he was just as innocent as he can possibly be. I can't imagine being pronounced guilty, knowing that you're innocent. He hung as a criminal between two thieves. I find it interesting that we know the name of Jesus, but we don't know the name of the thieves, do we? You see, all attention was focused on the Christ, and as He hung there, He was a lonely man. Nobody desired Him. Sad, isn't it? How about Paul in prison? He spoke these words at my first answer. No man stood with me. All men forsook me. Let's just get arrested today and thrown in prison. And there's not a soul around you, and any friend that you used to have wants absolutely nothing to do with you. You're forsaken by every companion, and there's no assistance from the outside. Think you'd feel kind of lonely in a situation like that? Folks, loneliness is something the Bible talks about. And there's been many Bible characters who've experienced it. Real quickly, we'll make this third point. What loneliness is not. Loneliness is not a figment of the imagination. It's real, isn't it? Number two, and mark this one down. Loneliness is not necessarily a lack of faith on your part. Paul had faith, Jesus had faith, Elijah had faith, and yet they were lonely people at times. Put a star by this next one. Loneliness is not a failing of God. Sometimes we think that, don't we? Where's God? Why does He make me feel like this? Why doesn't He help me out? Folks, loneliness is not a failing of God. Number four, loneliness is not a mental illness. Now, it can be detrimental to your health, but it is not a mental illness that you can go grab some medication for and take it and just feel like you're on top of the world again. And loneliness is not something that you have to accept for your life. Isn't that wonderful? There are ways to conquer and dispose of loneliness in our life. That leads to our fourth point. How do you do that? Got 4 points real quickly. Number one, realize the source of your loneliness. When you feel lonely, you need to ask yourself, what in the world is causing me to feel this way? Look at an illustration. Because the answer can go a long way to the healing. What if I am the problem? I've joined a new group. Maybe it's a sewing group. Maybe it's a golf group. I don't know anybody. And I go in there with a bad attitude. Try to show them how good a golfer I am. I'll teach y'all. Guess who's the problem? I am. Maybe I need to try to fit in. Maybe I need to be more accepting. Maybe I need to quit being so critical of everyone. And the very moment that I dispose of all of those things, guess what? All of a sudden I start fitting in, don't I? What's the source of my loneliness? How about this next one? When an individual loses someone in death, they feel lonely. And they feel like they've lost their who, don't they? Joe's died and I'm just so lonely. They have lost the person, but remember, oftentimes the person supplies the what. Isn't that right? See, they used to come home and here was their mate and there was fun, there was laughs, there was companionship, there was stability, there was security, there was wealth, there was encouragement. There were all of these things that they had, all the what's that your life needs, and now a lot of that's gone. There's not even a voice in the house, is there? And you see what happens a lot of times. Kathleen always tells me men do this more than women. I don't believe that. because it takes two to tango. That's what I tell her. Men lose a mate, and they get married very quickly oftentimes, don't they? Now Kathleen says, see there, men just get married so quick. I said, well, Kathleen, they had to get married to a woman, right? There had to be some woman out there too. But the very minute you get married, guess what? You quit being lonely. Now your mate's dead. And yet you're not lonely anymore. Why? Because that new person is providing many of the what's again. The laughs, the companionship, the trust, the stability, the encouragement, the confidence. Oh yes, I can still grieve the loss of my mate, but guess what? I'm not lonely anymore. What is the source of my loneliness? If I can find that out, oftentimes I can conquer that loneliness. How about this second one? Think properly. Think properly. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, Paul gives us a list of things to think on, and one of those is this: whatsoever things are true. That's what we're supposed to think on, true things. What amazes me is how hyperbolic we get in our thinking sometime. And we use these words that just cover every aspect of our life, right? How about this one? Nobody loves me. Nobody. 8 billion people on the earth and not one person. You got a problem. Everybody hates me. Now, if that be the case, then the last part of that song is true. You need to go eat some worms. Ain't that right? But you hear, we see how hyperbolic we get? We just make it comprehensive. Nothing is right in my life. Nothing. When you got up and you're breathing, that's a pretty good thing. If you're a Christian, that's a real good thing, isn't it? Everything is terrible. I'm never happy. I'm never going to be happy. Never, never, never. There's always problems. See, you got to get rid of what? You got to get rid of the stinking thinking. That's all a counselor does when you go to him. Did you know that? That's all he does. Maybe I need to do that. Remember Elijah? He was down there in Sinai, full of this self-pity, sleeping all the time, big state of depression. I'm the only one in Israel. Oh, no, you're not. When God came to him, yet have I left me 7,000 in Israel. Guess what he's doing? He's correcting his thinking. You are not the only one, Elijah. There's 7,000 whose knees have not bowed the knee to Baal, whose mouths have not kissed him. There are 7,000 in Israel, just like you are faithful, who are steadfast. Go find the faithful and get around those individuals. You are not the only one, folks. You've got to correct your thinking sometime and get rid of some of those awful words we use. I like this next one. Find your what again. Find your what. Remember, loneliness oftentimes is tied to a what and not necessarily to a certain person. I want acceptance. So I go to a group to find that acceptance, and all of a sudden I'm in the group but I don't feel accepted. You want to know what that may be? I may be in the wrong group. So what's the answer? Change the group. I got to thinking about Paul. And I asked myself this question. Did Paul ever really feel comfortable and at home with the other apostles? I hope I get to ask him that on one occasion. Now there's a reason why I asked that. One of the reasons is this. He respected them and they respected him. I know that. You see that in Acts the 15th chapter, can't you? At the Jerusalem Council. But he visited with them on several occasions, but he never did go on a missionary journey with any of the other apostles. Peter and James were together. James and John were together. You never read of Paul with another apostle. Never. I find it interesting that very seldom did he go to the city of Jerusalem. Even after his conversion, it took 3 years to go to Jerusalem. When he was there, he only spent a few days. And then he left, and he finally came back at the Jerusalem Council. He was seldom in Jerusalem. Why not? He's an apostle of Jesus Christ. That's where the church was established. That's where all the apostles were. And yet, he's not there. When he looked upon Peter, he used Peter as a positive example and a what? And a negative example. Isn't that something? Was he really that close to the apostles? Listen to 1 Corinthians 15:8-9. He says this, "And last of all he was seen to me," talking about the resurrected Christ. And look how he describes himself. "As one born out of due time. For I am least of the apostles." You see how he thought about himself? I am least of the... Maybe he thought, "I'm not worthy to go to Jerusalem. I'm not worthy to be in that. I am least of the apostles." Why? He says, "It's not even meet for me to be called an apostle." Why, Paul? "Because I persecuted the church of God." I don't know if Paul ever really fit in with the 12. Even when he was with them. It's interesting, isn't it? You know what Paul did? He still found his what, didn't he? He created a whole nother circle of people that he associated with, didn't he? Barnabas, Silas, Timothy, Titus, and a host of others. And folks, guess what? They accepted him, didn't they? Sometimes we have to find our what, and that will end our loneliness. Here's the fourth point, and here is the one that matters the most, and here is the one that Christians have the hardest time of doing. Isn't that something? Allow God to be your who and your what. Is God real? I saw two people in here shake their head. That's sad. I thought I'd see everybody go, "Oh yeah." Folks, God is a real being, is He not? I can't touch Him. I can't hold Him. I can't see Him physically. I can't leave this service and drive over to His house. But God is a real being. And guess what? God wants a relationship with me. And in Ephesians 1, verses 4 through 6, he talks about that. The Bible says, "We've been chosen in Him, in Christ." God chose us. I want you. Because you wanted to be a part of me. The Bible tells us that He's predestined us unto the adoption of sons. Folks, He has brought us into His own family, a spiritual family. The Bible tells us also that He has made us accepted in the Beloved. We're not an outcast. We're not a second-rate citizen. He accepts us. God should be our what? He's our who, isn't He? And what's wonderful about God is this: He won't ever leave you. Never. Hebrews 13, verse 5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Kathleen can't say that about Vic. "I may die tomorrow, and I'm gone." That's not very dependable, is it? Guess what? God will never forsake me. He will always be there for me. He was with Elijah, wasn't He? When he fled into the wilderness. He was with Daniel in the lion's den. He was with Paul in the city of Corinth. Paul entered into that city with much fear and trembling, and God was there and appeared to him in a vision. God was with Paul in that prison cell. Notice what he says, "At my first answer, no man stood by me, all men forsook me." You drop down to the very next verse, "Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. My God was there." Everybody that I put faith and trust in, human-wise, was gone. But guess what? God was there. You and I somehow, as Christians, must make God our who when it comes to companionship. Now watch this next one. God is able to supply every need that you and I ever have. Every need. Two verses. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." What does He say He's going to supply? "I'll supply all your need." Do you believe that? Do you believe that? See, that's where we have trouble, isn't it? God can't supply it all. Well, the Bible says He can. Look at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you." Now notice this next part. "Always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work." I have all sufficiency in what? All things, folks. God is my provider. He gives me the who and He gives me the what. Now here's where you have to make a distinction. Kathleen reminds me of this all the time. I tell her, "Boy, I sure would like a little Jeep to run around the beach on." "Want or need, want or need." Ugh, get sick of hearing that. It's a want, it's not a what. It's not a need. God never promised, "I will provide you with everything you want, but I will provide you with everything you need." There's a difference, isn't there? You see, we have to definitely make that distinction. We may say, "Well, God can't do this, God can't do that." Well, guess what? It's not a what. It's not a need. It's just a want that you have. But He can fulfill every need that I have. "I have been young, now I'm old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread." David says in Psalm 37, 25. Wow. Folks, loneliness is a real affliction. And it can impact almost any human being anywhere, can it not? It has two major elements, a who and a what. If my who is gone, I can be lonely. If my what is gone, I can be lonely. I can cause loneliness. Others can cause it. Tragic events can cause it. But we can cure it. Listen to me again. The best way to do that's with who? The best way to do that's with a relationship with the Almighty God. Allow Him to take care of every need you have. I want you to think about this. You've got every need provided for. You don't need anything else. If it's just you and God here on this earth, guess what? I am just a happy person. Because every need is supplied by Him. And guess what? Anything you get beyond that, that's like frosting and cherries on the top, isn't it? I'm just lucky to have that. That can be taken off, that can be removed from my life, and guess what? I'm still happy. James tells us how to cure loneliness. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Loneliness is not a fun thing to go through, I'll guarantee you. That's why we have to trust our God. But isn't it sad to think there's a lot of people who don't even have God in their lives? Well, they may think they do, and yet they don't. Folks, the way we do that is to be in Christ, isn't it? The Bible tells us exactly how to do that. "For you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Do you need to do that this morning? Are you an erring child of God? Are you not faithful? Have you not trusted God the way you need to? Sometimes we let our loneliness cause us to drift from God, push away from God rather than draw nigh to Him. Maybe you need to come back. Do you need the prayers of this congregation? Won't you come as together we stand and sing?